Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Hey, good day, America. Are we entering a golden age? I sure hope so. Lots of optimism as we watch free speech and freedom of religion return to America being restored. Is the regulatory superstate going to be dismantled? Can we return to constitutional liberty? Will DOGE be effective at reducing the debt? All of this is at the federal level, and it's a matter of politics. And we've had our election, the inauguration, the State of the Union addressed. So is all the work done? Absolutely not. And this isn't about voting at the ballot box or funding a candidate. The next phase of restoring America has to do with money, but it's going to only happen with the blessing of God. And that only happens when we as his people get aligned with his word. Joining me to talk through all of this is my great friend, our Pirate Money co-host, Mike Carter. Mike, how's 2025 treating you?
Well, it's been an exciting year so far. Lots of good things happening on the transactional gold and silver side. We'll get into that, I'm sure, later on. Lots of exciting opportunities existing within the NSIC Institute and things we're launching with that. So it's a very exciting year for us as we look to the future. Love the recent presidential address and the kind of the vision that was cast there as well.
Yeah, no, it's a golden age for America. And golden, that fits our pirate money notion of gold doubloons and pieces of eight. So that's great. Well, what I want to talk about today is investing. Maybe not in the traditional sense. There are lots of different ways to invest. You can buy stocks, bonds, real estate, private equity, private debt, IRAs, 401ks, and so forth. But what I want to deal with is literally the heart of investing, or literally our hearts. It's our hearts that we have to deal with. We have to deal with them in every aspect of our lives. And I know that people are investing to provide for their future. You want to provide for your family. You want to provide for retirement, college, and so forth. But what does how we invest say about what our heart is and where it is? Jesus made it clear when he said, "Where your treasure is, your heart will be also." That's Matthew 6:21. Like the bumper stickers say, though, my kid and my money go to Texas A&M, or Roberts University in your case, or you pick your school, the Ohio State University, as our friend Art Alley would say. You know, my kid and my money go there. That's the point. Our money is reflective of our purpose. It's not necessarily everything based on the rate of return, but rather the impact of the investment. For example, Mike, would you invest in pornography even if you knew it gave you 100% return in a few weeks?
Couldn't do that.
Yeah, nope. And you shouldn't invest in anything that hurts children. Here's Matthew 18:6. But those who shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, if it would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned into the depth of the sea. You think our investments matter?
They definitely matter. I'm not sure that enough of us prioritize what's going on with our investments and how those are being used or what we're supporting. I'm not sure we're aware of that, or maybe we don't want to be aware of it.
No, we're looking for the easy button, but money matters. It shows our heart. And speaking of money, there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, spend it, or invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room, it's our sister show, and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. You know, we're going to talk, Mike, about all three things you can do with your money, but we're also going to talk about three real threats to our money, and then we're going to offer a solution. And the first of these things I want to bring up is this book, Tyranny for the Good of Its Victims by, can you see it?
Andrew Putzner.
Yeah, you know him. We've met him and spent some time with him. Yes, he's a good guy.
Yes, yes. Did I see he's ambassador now?
Well, he's appointed by Trump to be the ambassador, not just ambassador, but ambassador of the European Union. I think that's quite a thing.
Wow, I think we should go visit him there. Maybe we should do a show there.
Yeah, we got to interview him. You know, so we would normally have him on. He can't come and do interviews because he hasn't been approved by the Senate. So So we're going to review his book in brief, but the title of it, that's A Tyranny for the Good of His of Its Victims. You remember that C.S. Lewis quote?
You'll have to refresh my memory on that.
C.S. Lewis said, of all the tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victim may be the most oppressive. It may be better to live under a robber baron than under omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep. His cupidity may at some point be satiated. But those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their own conscience.
Now I remember why I did not remember that quote. It was a little long, but I see where you're going with it.
It's a little long. You know, and you think about that, it's the idea, I'm going to oppress you and because you're a bigot and you don't see that men can be women, so I'm going to re-educate you and I'm going to oppress you. If they're doing it for the good of the victims, it's a very dangerous thing, isn't it?
It is, and that's certainly a trend that we've seen happening, getting bigger and bigger until maybe now there seems to be enough pushback and a change.
There does, and part of the pushback has been, I've been working with Andy Puzder and others. Now, he was the CEO of Carl's Jr. and Hardee's Restaurants, CKE Restaurant Group. And he's a brilliant businessman, entrepreneur. He's also a brilliant philosopher. This is a great book. And in it, I'm just going to share about this. You can get copies of this at your local library. You can probably find it, more information on Amazon or whatever. But he writes in here, and he opens with a quote from Thomas Jefferson. The issue today is the same as it's been throughout all history, whether man shall be allowed to govern himself or be ruled by a small elite. Mike, you know this front and center. The small elite have tried to rule us through our investing.
Yes.
Describe what ESG is and how it works.
Environmental social governance. And you know, I started to have feel a little bit of encouragement, and we're seeing this diversity, equity, inclusion pushback in a big way amongst corporations. And I started to think, well, man, maybe ESG is going to automatically go with that. But I think making that assumption is the wrong thing. I mean, to put environment, social, governance ahead of the investor and ahead of the returns. And we're all for clean water, clean air, and all that kind of stuff. But that was literally another agenda, a tyrannical type agenda to control corporations, to control what's going on, control an agenda.
Literally a religion.
If you don't control your money, you don't control anything.
It's not a Christian religion, but it's a religion. You know, we worship the environment, we worship equity and not equality. And we cover all that stuff here on the program. But I just want to run through 8 quick points that he's got in the book. And I strongly recommend that you learn more about this book. I mean, you know, get it from a library or whatever. His points are well taken. He starts with an introduction. He says that ESG is a threat to our political system and a threat to our liberty. That's the first point. He makes the second point is, which matches a story I tell about John Bogle, where index investing means that I just trust the experts. I just hand my money off to the experts. Well, what if the experts are forcing Disney to put homosexuality into every production? Is that a good thing? I mean, that's a tie a millstone around your neck thing and throw you into the sea. So he calls out index investing. Third point is he calls out Larry Fink, who some people say is aptly named, and BlackRock. You hear BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street. Fourth thing he points out is the failure of Silicon Valley Bank and how it was tied to woke investing and how it's a threat to our economy, not just our liberty. The fifth thing he calls out is social injustice. And there's a great quote from Elon Musk in here about social injustice. Let's see if I can pull that up.
While you're looking for it, it sounds like we have the right topics for another textbook for the National Security Investment Consultant Institute. It's hitting all the key things that advisors need to be aware of, but also clients as they're looking at how to invest their money.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to have to take a break in a second, but I want to hit this social injustice. He says, the point was to end discrimination, not replace it with different discrimination. That's an Elon Musk quote. And then we've got Larry Fink's letter on pages 84 and 105 on this, The War on Profit, and talks about how this is destroying people's ability to get profit. And then there's A True Economic Mirage. All right, this is a great book. We're going to cover it. We'll cover more about this after the break. But we're also going to cover a second book that was written by Dana and Bill Wichterman, titled Stewards, Not Owners. This is a Christian response to investing. I'm looking forward to sharing more about this with you, Mike, right after this break.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and I'm joined by the co-host, Mike Carter, and we're talking about something that Mike and I have been fighting for at least 10 years, which is stakeholder capitalism. Stakeholder capitalism, you want to describe it or you want me to?
You're on a roll, Kevin. You just keep going.
Stakeholder capitalism is basically where you say anything you invest is for the good of all the stakeholders. Now, stakeholder means everybody. It is literally socialism repackaged to sound more palatable. But when you go in, for example, how are they treated? So if you're running a company, your job is to make sure that all the stakeholders are treated with equality and equity. So the employees have got to be paid super, super well. The food quality needs to be great, but you need to pay your farmers extra money so they can produce all the food the best way. And then you need to have, you know, the highest minimum wage possible. You need to make certain that you don't harm the environment in any way, whatever you do, that you follow all these sets of rules and regulations. And in the end, the shareholder, well, you don't get anything except the pleasure that you've served and helped all these other stakeholders.
And oftentimes it puts the employees ahead of the customers out there. And that's not a model for a return on investment. That's not a successful business model at all. You've got to always make sure you've got the customer first. You're taking care of their needs. Now, obviously, you want to have satisfied employees. You want to have the right systems and process to build cultures that are focused on that. But if all of a sudden you turn that around and it's all about the employees and not the customers, it's not going to work.
Or if you make it all about the customers and you say, we're going to make it free. They've tried these in restaurants. They've said free food. You come in and you pay whatever you think you can afford. How many of those restaurants that started 5 years ago are in business today?
Yeah, I don't think any of them made it past a year.
None of them made it past a year. And the reality of it is there is one measure in a free market system that determines whether you're successful. Absolutely, you have to take care of your employees, because if you don't, they'll quit on you and you won't have a business. You have to take care of your customers. If you don't, they won't show up. But you can't give away free food. You can't make everything free. And then you can't donate 120% of the profits to the Green New Deal. If you follow all of those, you'll fail. But if you serve in a free market economy with a good governance, a good government that says, hey, look, no polluting. I mean, if you're polluting the river, you go to jail, right? Yep. So you won't do that. Bottom line is, shareholder capitalism has been the one system that works. And that's something that Puzder covers in great detail in his book.
Shareholder capitalism versus stakeholder capitalism. We've seen kind of the difference. You know, one is all about the employees and so forth. The shareholder one is all about shareholders, but it's not really all about shareholders. It's about building a business model that takes care of the culture, takes care of the employees, does all these things, but it's also focused on generating a return without a specific globalist agenda.
Which makes it sustainable. People talking about sustainable investing. Sustainable means that you'll have enough money to keep operating,
yes.
Right? That includes, here's a great quote from someone speaking at Georgetown University in 2015, we don't dispute that the free market is the greatest producer of wealth in history. It has lifted billions of people out of poverty. Now, would it surprise you if I told you that was Barack Obama who said that?
Yes, that would surprise me. I would have thought you were going to say Rod Martin.
Yeah, Rod Martin or Adam Smith. And by the way, Rod Martin has said exactly that. But you look at the global GDP over the long run in Puzder's book, it shows it's just flatlined up until free market capitalism is introduced in the United States of America, and then it takes off. Poverty has shrunk. People are better off because we have free market systems and they can be sustainable. Yeah. Otherwise, socialism, you take your money, it comes from at the end, you have to hand it over at the end of a barrel of a gun.
There's a reason everybody wants to come to America. Now, we have some on maybe the Democratic side that say it's a horrible place, they want to leave and so forth. So on the radical left, I should say. But there's a reason people recognize there's something different about America, and it's that exact free market capitalism that we're talking about that's driving success, driving prosperity, driving innovation, It's something special that we have. We need to protect it. And I'm encouraged that we have a vision and I think a president now that wants to get us back on track with that.
And a good book that explains it. I started through the 8 points that I took from it. I got through number 5, social injustice. Elon Musk, you can't bring social justice by creating injustice. You can't, quotas don't solve the problem because then they discriminate against people that are highly qualified. You've got to let success and qualifications determine that. Number 6, I was going to say the Disney example he put in here, which you and I know firsthand. I found it, let's see, what is it, page 77. I'm just going to read to you. In early 2024 proxy contest, hedge fund icon Nelson Peltz attempted to elect 2 directors to Disney's board. Peltz stated in a March 2024 interview with Financial Times that he did not want to fire Disney CEO Robert Iger. Rather, he wanted to help him. Peltz criticized Disney for becoming too woke. According to Peltz, people go to a movie to watch a movie or a show to be entertained. They don't go to get a message. And he took particular aim at movies that featured, one race only or one gender only. It's like the 100-pound female who's able to defeat an army of 500 special forces men. And, it's woke nonsense. People turned away from it. Remember when Marvel movies were good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've not even seen the latest one because I saw some of the story and narrative. I'm like, not motivated to go. It used to be that as soon as it came out, I wanted to go see those. And they reinforced the message of, Captain America. You can't beat that.
Right. No, I love the patriotism. I love the idealism. They were conservative films.
Yeah.
So Peltz tried to overturn that, and he was unsuccessful because Disney had sold out to woke. That was the 6th point. The 7th point is...
Looks like we got a Larry Fink letter, pages 84 and 105 here. I'm just... the war on profit. Now, that doesn't sound like a good thing. War on profit, and we got the spring season kind of kicking in here. I had to hold a sneeze back a few minutes ago, so hopefully Russell's controlling our sneeze mics here.
Yeah,
but the war on profit with Larry Fink. Let's get into that.
He said every government, company, and shareholder must confront climate change. Wait a minute. What if you're in the business of producing breakfast cereal, or maybe you're in the business of producing nice coasters to put? What is that? Why should that be our number one priority, climate change? I don't get that. That makes no sense.
I think one of the things that we're up against when we look at that as Americans, as investors and so forth, it's easy for us to say, oh, there's nothing I can do about it. But there really is. I mean, this is the time where we don't sit back and say, okay, well, we've got, the right political vision in America now. I'm just going to let it happen. This is the time we got to really work together and stand together for Americans and say, there's a shift happening. People have seen what's going on, and now how do we work together? How do we stand together to make sure that we keep this thing moving forward? We protect the liberties that we have here in America.
Well, Larry Fink at BlackRock did the opposite. He says it's important to recognize that net zero demands a transformation of the entire economy. His intention was to take the great American economic engine, which has been extraordinarily successful, and cram it down the throats of American companies because of the investment that they made. Now, he's backpedaled since yes. Trump is in office. And you'll see BlackRock is going to take control of both ends of the Panama Canal to please President Trump. I hope that that's what they're doing and not just supporting the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah, everything I see, I question, what's the real motivation there? And I hope you're right. But it seems like there's a lot of, this is what I say I'm going to do, but I'm going to actually do something different over here. So holding them accountable is important.
Yep. All right. So we're going to go now transition from A Tyranny for the Good of Its Victims by Andrew Pusser to Stewards Not Owners by Dana and Bill Wichterman. These people are amazing. Bill Wichterman, he worked for President Bush. He's an expert in politics. He's an author. He's pro-life, works for a pro-life group. He's not a lawyer. He's a public policy expert. He worked for a chief of staff as a congressman. I mean, he's just a brilliant guy. And yet he took his message of this book, and it's about Christian stewardship, which I think is really, really, really important.
Awesome. I've not seen that one yet, but I like the title, Stewards, Not Owners. We talk stewardship a lot here at Liberty Hawk Ranch, Economic War Room, everything that we're working on.
All right. So it talks about the same sorts of things that we do discuss, but it's just put in a comprehensive book. It talks about joy of aligning your money with your values. Well, that's Luke 16:11. Jesus said, if you're not faithful with your unrighteous mammon, nobody's ever going to trust you with true riches. So aligning your money. You know, we need to have him on the program and do a conversation with him. His wife, Dana, who's the co-author of the book, she started at USAID.
Oh, wow.
And I want to hear her transformation. I mean, how did it go from the idealistic purposes that John Kennedy had to where it became a slush fund for, well, I dare say evil. I mean, funding things like transgender mice, which, yes, by the way, fact check this, CNN, you got caught. You said there's no such thing and Trump was a lie and you fact checked him. You had to backpedal because he had the receipts. Exactly. They were right there.
Exactly. It's crazy when we see when Trump went through that list of how it was spent and you could hear people laughing and yet seeing the Democrat side not even recognizing that's wasteful spending. It's a paradigm shift that I don't know if I've ever seen in America. It's such a change in philosophical beliefs, I guess.
Now, this fight is not over. We're seeing a battle in the stock market. We're seeing a battle in the news media and so forth. But there is no question that America's money has been invested in extraordinarily woke things. Now, what about that passage? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's America's heart been?
Yeah.
It's really frightening. I lay before you blessing and curse, life and death. Choose life, right? Our money, your money, has been taken from you by our government, and it's been funding all transgender opera. It's been funding crazy, crazy things, and sometimes it's just wasted or thrown away in fraud.
Yeah. I look at the subtitle on this book. Being a Christian is not the secret to happiness, but giving like a Christian just might be. Well, it's giving to the right causes. It's not taking our money and giving it to things that are completely against what we believe in.
Right. Well, three things you can do with your money. You can give, you can spend, or you can invest. You got to align all three with your values. There's a good quote from John Wesley, founder of the Wesley Church, Methodist Church and the Wesleyan Church. And it's quoted in the book. It says, you should earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. Those are the three things he has doing with money. We call it giving, spending, investing, and we talk about investing for three things.
Our LSV, liberty, security. Security can be personal security, national security, cybersecurity, and then Judeo-Christian values. So liberty, security, and values. LSV, the solution to ESG.
Yep, and so we're going to be talking solutions. We got to take another break. Before we get to our solutions, I want to talk through his book a little more, where it talks about the dangerous blessing of money. And that's something we all as Christians, we all hope we can get a little more money. Where do I get money? When I get more money, I'll do good things. Well, that's not necessarily true unless your heart is in the exact right place. We'll talk about the dangerous blessings of money right after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Freedom. Didn't you hear it? Danny Grego singing?
Yep.
All right. Money can bring freedom or tyranny. Shekels can become shackles. And that's where we ended up on this brilliant book that Dana and Bill Wickerman have written about being a good steward of your money. When we left off, we were talking about money as a dangerous blessing on page 175. I know I just handed you the book, but let's walk through. Can wealth be deceitful?
Yes, it can. And you know, when I've never heard of it that way, but money can be a dangerous blessing. On the other side, it can be a great blessing. And I think it comes down to how you use it and what you do with it.
And what your heart intends.
Yes.
That your heart follows your money, but your money follows your heart. They both work. They're both true. Deceitfulness of wealth. Let me just tell you a story, personal story. You think you know everything if you have money, right? Money answers everything. It's very deceitful that way. Oh, I can fix that. I'll just solve that. I'll just write a check for it. If you can write a check for it and solve it, it's not a problem. You say, it's not a problem. You know, there are a lot of people who don't have any money or very little money, and they're like, wow. Money is deceitful because you think it'll answer every problem that you have and fix every need that you have, meet every need. That's just simply not the case. I've been poor and I've been rich. Rich is better, but it doesn't solve all your problems, does it?
No, not at all. And they got a Deuteronomy 8, 10 through 14 here. When you've eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you for this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine homes, fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And I think oftentimes, you know, when we've had success in our careers, you start thinking, well, I can answer, I can take care of this. I know how to do this. And it becomes more about, this is what I can do. And we got to remember, it's not what we're doing. It's what God has blessed us with and who he is. That's our provider.
Yeah, I was reading Deuteronomy, I think 7, 8, and 9, about the blessing that God gave the people coming out of Egypt, the Israeli people coming out of Egypt, because he humbled them. It literally says he humiliated them by basically giving them just enough manna for the day. They got double portion to handle the Sabbath, but then if they tried to keep it, it rotted. So nobody could get wealthy off manna. It was just enough to meet the day's needs, like in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, because that means you go back to God and you don't get proud and you don't build up barns and then bigger barns and say, like the rich fool. You know, I remember as a time when I was making a lot of money and I was much younger than I am now, and I thought I could solve every problem with money. And the scripture says that. It says money answers everything, except if you read carefully, you'll realize it doesn't provide health. It can provide health care. It doesn't provide relationships. It can provide fake relationships. A rich man has a lot of friends, but they're not true friends. And it certainly doesn't provide salvation. It can't provide any of the three things that truly matter: your health, your relationships and family, and genuine, eternal salvation. Other than that, it works pretty good, though.
Yeah. Well, and then in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10, some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs.
Yeah.
So not being eager for money, but what we can do for the kingdom and treasure in heaven that it matters.
Yeah, well, it makes us greedy, it makes us lazy, it distracts us. In my Bible reading today, it was David and Bathsheba, when the king did not go out with his fellow soldiers to war, he ended up killing one of his best friends, Uriah, stealing his wife, fostering a child out of wedlock that died. He did marry Bathsheba and had another son, Solomon, but extra wealth without the right heart makes us greedy, lazy, and distracts us. So people who don't have money, I pray, you know, get blessed and get the resources they need. And I know there are listeners here who don't have a lot and you need help. And God can be a source, and money is an important thing. I'm not going to say it's a terrible thing. But then a lot of people have too much money, and then they get greedy, lazy, and get distracted. They get confused over who owns it. That's why I think the title of the book is so powerful, Stewards, Not Owners. You remember when we first got Liberty Hawk, what we said?
I do. In fact, on our name badges, we have stewards of this property, because it's such a miracle. And we know that it was God that provided this. We were obedient in following what he called us to do in helping to protect America and helping to grow the kingdom out there. But to have the blessing we have here with this property and the way that it came together wasn't anything that we did. That was clearly God that said, okay, use this. And the owners that had it beforehand said, we want you to be the next stewards of this property.
And that's the key, is to be stewards. All right, so that's the second thing. And you know, we got to get Dana and Bill onto the program and talk in depth about Stewards, Not Owners. Because you know, this isn't just a book review show, although there are two great books that you can get more information about at your library, or you can go to Amazon or wherever you get your books. a tyranny for the good of its victims and stewards, not owners. Well, here's the next one I want to talk about. It's the one we've worked on, and maybe in thought leaders in this one, and that is the tyranny of investing in our enemy. Did you see America First Investment Policy, the executive order written by President Trump? It came out February 21st, 2025. Have you got that there?
I've got it. I've not had a chance to read through it, though, I'll be honest. America's investment policy is critical to our national and economic security. Well, we've been talking about that for years. You've been warning at the Pentagon and debriefing them on that.
Yeah, no, and yet the shiny object is, well, invest in China because, you know, China's got this brand new AI or this great technology, or they're going to rule the world, or they're, you know, they can manufacture less expensively. Yeah, and violate human rights, yes, and build missiles that may be pointed at us. And yes, you know, there's a whole lot of things bad that come from the Chinese Communist Party, and we have nothing against the Chinese people. In fact, the Chinese people may someday rule the world because the gospel of Jesus Christ is infiltrating into China, and there may be an emergent church there that is just as powerful. You know, there's nothing unique or about the United States compared to if we have Christ and we have a good system. That's what makes America special. China could adopt, you know, enter Christ by asking Jesus into their hearts, the Chinese people, and they could adopt a great system. And, you know, they may be at the top of the heap one day, and I would be in favor of that, but not this Chinese Communist Party.
There's an evil part to the Communist part of this thing, and it is not good. But I'm reading more on this America First Investment Policy, and I see stuff that looks like it came, stuff you were talking about in your New York Times bestselling book, Secret Weapon, here. It's investment at all costs is not always in the national interest, however. Certain foreign adversaries, including the People's Republic of China, systematically direct and facilitate investment in the United States companies and assets to obtain cutting-edge technologies, intellectual property, and leverage in strategic industries. The PRC pursues these strategies in diverse ways, both visible and concealed, and often through partner companies or investment funds in third countries. I mean, this is exactly the stuff you warned about years ago. Absolutely.
It absolutely is. But it goes both ways. Not only do they invest in us, buying farmland next to military installations, buying our food producers, buying critical industries and so forth, but it also works the other way where they suck out, for example, intellectual property. China RX, when we had Rosemary Gibson on very early on, they've stolen some of our intellectual property, and or they bought it. And now most manufacturing of our drugs, the active pharmaceutical ingredient, API, comes from China.
They bought it, and then they undercut pricing-wise through aggressive predatory pricing, shut down pharmaceutical stuff here. I mean, I think probably still true at the time. All vitamin C is made in China. We don't even make it here anymore, I think, in terms of the tablets and so forth.
Or aspirin or so many things.
Yeah, a lot of those medications out there, it's a big deal, and it still needs to be addressed.
It does. So that's a problem. Here's another problem that directly involves our investing. If you bought into one of these woke investment funds or maybe even an index fund, and you might find that you're invested in the People's Republic of China. It's exploiting U.S. This is in the presidential order. PRC is also increasingly exploiting United States capital to develop and modernize its military, intelligence, and other security apparatus, posing a significant risk to the United States homeland and armed forces of the United States. Related actions include the development and deployment of dual-use technologies, weapons of mass destruction, advanced conventional weapons, malicious cyber-enabled actions against the United States and its people through its national military-civil fusion strategy. The PRC increases the size of its military-industrial complex by compelling civilian Chinese companies and research institutions to support its military and intelligence activities.
And PRC here, acronym for People's Republic of China. You know, I have a daughter that's in the Air Force, and we've been warning about this for years now, but frustrating to hear even companies that have been sanctioned. We've been investing in those companies that are building weapons pointed against our servicemen and
can
women.
Can you imagine? Go back to 1939, and Wall Street was convincing you to invest in these great Nazi enterprises. And so you need to be investing in this. They're going to build tanks, and these tanks are going to be very successful in racing across Europe. And they're going to build gas chambers. Can you imagine how stupid that would be?
Yeah. It's insane. I got to correct something here because occasionally my son-in-law listens to the radio program as well. I got to get used to having a daughter that's married. My son-in-law and my daughter are in the Air Force. And when you hear that this kind of thing is happening, it just defies all logic.
Yeah, no, it's It's frightening. All right. So policy of the United States to preserve an open investment environment to help ensure that artificial intelligence, other emerging technologies of the future are built, created, and grown right here in the United States. So this is another thing investors have to look at. We started off, are we investing in things that destroy our values? That's A Tyranny for the Good of Its Victims, written by Andrew Pusder, who's going to be the ambassador to the European Union. Are we doing that? Well, if you're promoting ESG, woke companies, index funds that are run by woke people, yeah, you probably are investing against your values. Then we talked about stewards, not owners. Why should you not invest in things to destroy your value? Because you're merely a steward of the money. Money can't solve the problems, and in going for the greatest possible return, if you're invested in child pornography, would not be a very good idea spiritually. In the long term, it would not benefit you very much. And now we're talking about how Wall Street has, in many cases, sold out to the Chinese Communist Party, the People's Republic of China, or the Chinese People's Liberation Army. And these are a direct threat to our future, to your daughter, but just to the homeland, just to our future economically. Unrestricted warfare from China is a clear and present danger to the security of the United States. Now, we're going to have to figure out how to solve this, and we will do that right after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and I'm joined by Mike Carter. Mike Carter is one of a couple of co-founders of the NSIC Institute, which is our solution. We'll talk about that in a minute. But we've been talking about investing in Chinese companies. There was one Chinese company that was the Starbucks of China, the fastest growing coffee company in the world. Everybody needs to look at Luckin Coffee. And here I've got a case study from Seven Pillars Institute, Luckin Coffee Accounting Fraud from August of 2021. And Emma Chung wrote a great story about how Luckin Coffee accounting fraud was brought to the attention of the Securities Exchange Commission, and investors lost money. The price, mm-hmm. the value of that stock went down.
Well, there's no accounting. When we were talking pharmaceuticals the other day, the FDA is not even allowed to go inspect their plants over there, yet they're still shipping things here. Same thing when it comes to businesses. We don't know what's real and not real as it relates to the accounting. Very easy to have a fraudulent company that's supposedly making lots of money if there's no audits.
Yeah, no, we had an investor who lost his shirt in a bicycle e-bike manufacturing company in China that didn't turn out to be real at all.
Yeah.
It was listed here. He invested in it. He thought it was great. It's great for the planet. It's a great Green New Deal stock, you know, electric bike coming from China. And yet it was a complete fraud. And there've been documentaries where they've gone over into China and visited these factories, and they'll tell you they're manufacturing electric bicycles one day and pharmaceuticals the next day, and then maybe they're a coffee processing plant the next day, because they'll put up a sign, they'll show the workers in there working, and then as soon as the investor tour has left, they'll change the sign and show it to be something else.
Yeah. Or buildings that are sitting empty, and then they fire up the fountains and make it look like they're running when there's nothing really behind the wall.
The ghost cities of China. And China's got some serious economic problems. And I'm not saying don't invest in China. In fact, there is a group that has found a way to invest in China, and they clean out to make sure that they're not harming American interests. It's the National Security Index, Justin Bernier. We'll have him on the program at some point. But you know, some people need to be invested in China for whatever reason. There's an investment mandate or whatever. But if you want to avoid unwittingly funding blacklisted Chinese companies, let me quote from CNN. This is CNN just a year and a half ago. Americans are unwittingly funding blacklisted Chinese companies, congressional panel says. And it says a congressional select committee is investigating BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager, and MSCI, one of the biggest providers of index funds, to determine whether they are investing American savings in Chinese companies blacklisted by the U.S. government for security and human rights issues. And you know who drove this? You remember Roger?
Yes.
Our friend Roger?
Yeah.
Roger Robinson is the driver of this. We were a part of the team that helped bring this to light.
Yes, yes.
So,
and with BlackRock's coming up, you know, we were talking about Larry Fink earlier on this whole ESG thing. You see all these dots connecting and what's really going on behind the scenes. This is about shareholder returns and doing things that stand for liberty, security, and value? Or is this about a globalist climate control agenda?
Well, I believe it's about somebody getting good returns. I'm not exactly sure if it's the shareholder, if it's the sponsor.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that old saying, you visit the harbor and you see, well, this belongs to the CEO of, and you name Wall Street firm, and this yacht belongs to the CEO of this Wall Street. This one belongs to the CEO of this other Wall Street firm. And then the question was asked, well, where are the customers' yachts?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so who's making money off this? This is the problem. It gets very confusing to figure out how to do this and come up with a solution for this. But we've got one. I think the National Security Investment Consultant Institute is the best foot forward for American investors. How do I solve and prevent the woke or the China? How do I keep biblical values when I'm investing? Mm-hmm. Can you describe for us what is the NSIC Institute?
Yeah, well, first of all, that acronym, it's kind of a tongue twister as you say it. It is NSIC. It's the National Security Investment Consultant Institute. And what we're doing is we're equipping advisors to help them understand and understand your needs as a client, but then make sure that your investments are aligned around those values of liberty, security, and values. Now, every advisor is going to have their own kind of way, a methodology of how they maximize returns out there and so forth. But behind that are these three pillars of liberty, security, and values, making sure that as you invest that money, it's going to things that you want to reinforce, things that you want to protect, things that you stand for, not against working against your values. And too often we've seen, big organizations, BlackRock's a big one out there, that's putting and investing on their values, not their clients' values. And this is designed to make sure that we're not sitting back and saying, okay, well, I guess all is good. We've got an administration that cares about America and the values that we were founded upon. I guess I can relax. No, now's the time we need to step forward, stand together. And Kevin, you did this beautifully coming out of the book Secret Weapon as you were talking to the Pentagon and DC and so forth. What was it that got Main Street back their voice again? It wasn't about the ideas. It was about how many people do you represent and how much money. And so our goal is to build the network of advisors, equip them with what's going on with all these geopolitical threats, develop new ideas, fund new innovative ideas that protect liberty, security, and values, that give us clean air, give us clean water, all that kind of stuff. But standing together, if we have 5,000 to 10,000 advisors, each with $50 to $100 million in wealth, that's a half a trillion to $1 trillion of money that allows Main Street Americans to get their voice heard again in D.C., both in Wall Street and in D.C. And so that's the vision, to bring together advisors, build new ideas, help them build a game plan that they can come to agreement with their client that says, okay, if this happens, this is what we're going to do. If this happens geopolitically, we're going to do this. But be proactive in that and not just like, yeah, let's just ride this out. You know, over time, index funds do great. You just need to wait this thing out. It's a little bit different era now. We've talked about that before. It's not a matter of just being in an index fund, but maybe picking certain stocks sometimes or making sure you're in the right position based upon what's going on with other geopolitical threats.
Maybe it's make investing great again. I don't know how we do. The point is that investing used to be you'd find a good idea and you'd invest it and you'd make a profit from it and you'd only invest in things that aligned with your values. Then with index funds, it got to where, well, you know, I just trust you. Just put it in the S&P 500, put it in this index. I don't care. Now we're not an investment shop. We're not taking on clients. I've been an investment advisor most of my career. I'm not taking new clients. We're not trying to give investment advice on this program. What we are trying to do is recommend that you align your investing with your values so that you don't support the woke, you don't support the Chinese Communist Party, that you do support godly things, which is stewardship. And that's what we're talking. So what we've done is we've a handful of advisors. We've done two pilot programs, one at Hillsdale College in Washington, D.C., and one at Oklahoma Wesleyan in Oklahoma. We've tested the concept out, and it's beautiful. People love it. The advisors love it. People want an advisor. You know, I got a call the other day from an advisor. I said, you know, I got a client simply because I showed up at a seminar, and they said, well, have you ever heard of the NSIC? And he says, well, I've been through their course and I'm an active member. Good, you're hired. That was it, because they want their values aligned. So we train financial advisors. We give them threat assessments, like on artificial intelligence, China, the election. We've got groups of similarly minded men and women working together. We're not endorsing or giving investment advice. We're not saying you got to invest in this or don't invest in this, but all from a Judeo-Christian, Western civilization, pro-America, conservative, liberty-minded perspective. That's what we're doing. And I'll tell you, we've got some solutions. We brought a handful of advisors together, and we've got solutions for money, which is what?
Transactional gold and silver, pirate money.
Arrgh! Hollywood. Wow, I love that. The wealth gap. We've got a solution to the wealth gap. You couldn't invest in Uber before it came public, and that's where all the cream was. It's a great idea, but by the time it came public, you couldn't make money off of it. We've got a solution for that, for the information economy, even search engines, you know, breaking Google stranglehold, for water, for power, for food, all designed to protect your liberty, security, and values. And that's what Mike is, you know, that's been almost a full-time exercise for the past 10 years working to build this, and now we're ready to bring on advisors,
right? I'd say we've been building really the foundational roots of this. We've been getting, you know, some of the right advisors in as we start to say what this looked like. We've had several big projects come up in between, but we have now built the back-end systems, and we've got the facilities here to launch this in a significant way. And if you have an advisor maybe it's your financial advisor, you think they could benefit from learning about this, we'd love to talk to them at some point, see if this might be of interest to them. You can learn a little bit more at nsic.org. But this is kicking off now in a big way, and I believe those advisors that become a part of this, and I believe more importantly their clients, are going to get better returns, and their clients that go through this are going to have higher customer satisfaction. Because of the things that we talk about at the NSIC Institute Economic War Room and all the projects we're working.
Well, we had two problems when we first started. It was 10 years ago. Problem number one was nobody saw a need for it. What's the need for it? They didn't understand what woke investing was. They didn't understand what China was as a threat. That was the first problem. Second problem was there are no solution. Even if you convince me there's a need, there's no solution. And since then, we've seen things emerge like Timothy Plan, the National Security Index ETF, Strive, Vivek Ramaswamy, yes, and others have emerged with solutions. And we're not endorsing those, although for full disclosure, Timothy Plan has supported some of our programming and so forth. But we're not providing advice. We're not telling you what to do. But we're telling you, you need advice. You absolutely need advice. And if you're going to get advice, why not find an advisor who is aligned with your values? Don't look at the big name of the company on the business card. Instead, look at the heart of the individual who can help you align your investments. Now, they got to be qualified. I mean, they got to know their stuff. And that's up to you. That's your job to determine whether or not someone is qualified. That's on you. But on them, if you find the right person, make sure they know how to align your investments with your values. Look, if you got questions or comments, reach out to us, afr@piratemoneyradio.com. That's afr@piratemoneyradio.com. And here's your next assignment. Pray, ask God what he would have you do about your investing. Are your investments aligned with his purposes? Pray for America to return to God's principles. Let's get back to business. Let's do it God's way. The role of pirate money is to help you invest wisely for liberty, security, and values. Listen to us wherever you get your podcast. Kevin Freeman and Pirate Money Radio.